Hello, and welcome to episode 153 of the Arena Regulars podcast. I'm Zach,
And I'm Jeff.
and we're your source for drunken Magic the Gathering Arena content.
That's right. Just a couple of regular dudes drinking some irregular beers and talking about Magic the Gathering, in particular, the online client MTG Arena.
That is right. And this week is our pre-game episode for the Cowboy set. Whoppa. Outlaws of Thunder Junction is coming out next week onto Arena, and the pre-release is this weekend, so we need to pre-game to get ready for it by drinking some cheap beers as well as talking about cards that we want from the set. But with beers, obviously we've got to talk about the beer that we're drinking this evening. Each week we drink a beer, we rate it on a scale from bronze to mythic, just like the tiers in Arena. So with that, Jeff, what is on tap?
All right. So I'm really excited about this one. This is called Saint Andre. And Zach actually discovered this and you recommended it to me. You're like, we got to do this on the show. So I haven't been purchasing it. You've been talking about it. This was months ago. I would say right when we were starting to get into more traditional styles, our friend was pushing us that way. So I know you have a bohemian style lager here. So I'm just really excited about this one. Can you tell us like a little bit more about why you picked this one? I mean, is it just one of the best beers you've ever had, or?
I was in the store, I was looking at the can, I was like, ah, this, it seems very unassuming. It's just kind of like two different colors. There's like a red and a gray. There's a picture of a beer on the beer. But then I looked down at the price tag and it was $2 flat. And I was like, $2 for a beer? Well, I gotta try this one. And I actually ended up liking it. So I'm interested to see what you think about this $2 beer and if it is better than silver, which is kind of where I think it's going to be a silver beer, but
Okay, gotcha. Well, now I'm less excited.
Jeff knew all of this information before we started. All right.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, I don't know if this is true anywhere, but $2 for a tall can of beer in Ontario, where we live, is a very good price. It's basically, there is no better price than that. So, yeah, if you could find one that's drinkable at that price, you're laughing.
Yeah, there are many that are not drinkable. I think that's why I was like, well, I gotta try it to see if it's worth drinking. And if it is, then oh, okay, I can get
Yeah.
more of these.
That's how you
Which
average down your beer order price.
exactly. Yeah. Like some of your beers were like $4.50, $5, and some of them are two. So, it evens out. It's good. All right, Jeff. Well, let's crack this open. I'm excited to see or hear what you think about this. All righty.
Right.
With that, we have some magic news. Like I was saying before, Outlaws of Thunder Junction is coming out next week, but we did get a return of the streamer early access event on Arena. They skipped the Murders of Karlov Manor one for some reason. Might have been something to do with laying off a bunch of people at Wizards. And anyway, they
Did they
decided.
do one for Ixalan? Lost Caverns?
I believe so, yeah. But there just wasn't one for Outlaws of Thunder Junction.
Murders at Karlov Manor.
Murders at Karlov Manor. Outlaws of Thunder Junction just happened. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. I've already got, you just have a set name in your mouth and like you just keep saying that one and you just. Jeff
Just kidding.
just pretending to throw up the beer after he takes his first sip.
Classic gag.
It's so good. It's the best radio gag I've ever heard.
Yeah, I know. Perfect for a podcast.
really, it's an actual gag, in fact, so that makes it even better. Anyway, so they did the early access event. It seemed to be a little bit smaller than they usually did in past years. And some folks had said that either they didn't get to do it when they normally did, or all that stuff. And well, because of that, since there are such a small number of streamers actually doing it or participating, it seemed like queue times were pretty high and people had to play against the same people over and over again. So, yeah, hopefully the next one has more people and I get invited. That would be nice. I would like that.
I
Please,
don't see a way
Wizards.
in which that doesn't happen.
That they have more people or that I get invited.
That you get invited, like that's for
Oh.
sure happening.
Oh, well, thank you. That would be really great. I'd like that a lot. So yeah, anyway, there's some hope for us smaller streamers, but anyway, we'll be cool to see in the future. Happy it's back.
Yeah,
Jeff.
those were always cool.
Yeah.
I was always like, I don't understand why they force you to play best of one, I guess, but like maybe it's just so there's only two queues basically, and
I think so.
it's to get more matchmaking going.
I think it's also just like to get as many
Yeah.
matches as possible with as many different decks as possible, I guess. But, or maybe Cover Go Blue just told them that that's the only thing they should do. And
Yeah.
they're like, sure.
Oh, listen to you.
All right. So, Jeff, we have some big news before the site comes out. There was a banned and restricted announcement for
Oof.
Arena.
Yeah.
This is
Spicy.
always crazy when they do this right before a set. So, we have four cards that are banned. Force of Vigor, Commandeer, Reanimate, and Mana Drain
Not
are all
reanimate.
banned. We talked about Reanimate last week so much, and
Yeah.
it's banned in Historic. Those are all banned in Historic.
Don't scare me like that, man. I thought you were talking about Timeless.
Yeah, Timeless, just a reminder, they don't ban cards in Timeless. They just restrict them, and none of these cards are restricted. So this is just to make sure that Historic continues to stay on the same path that it's on. And with Timeless, they're just kind of waiting to see how Outlaws of Thunder Junction and Murder, or sorry, and Modern Horizons 3 kind of balance out that format. They think that everything from all those sets will be powerful enough that nothing will be broken. And
Yeah,
then
it would
they'll
be a little crazy to pre-restrict any of these cards when you know there's a more powerful set around the corner. You're just setting that precedent of like, well, what do we have to restrict from this set? Because, you know, the new set is going to be on a whole different power level and completely change the dynamic. So
We're like,
I agree with the wait and see approach. I mean, why not?
Yeah, I think some folks were upset that show and tell wasn't restricted, but I think it's the same exact thing. Like, show and
Yeah.
tell has been doing some stuff. Let's see all these other cards come in. We're getting new archetypes. It's gonna be really exciting. I'm
Honestly, the only
looking forward
reason
to it.
personally, if I were a designer, I would consider restricting show and tell is because it just like any permanent I create for the rest of time is now
Is
liable to bring show and tell back as a combo
into a
deck.
thing.
It's like if I
That's
ever try to print a big, juicy, powerful permanent, it's just like, well, show and tell's busted again.
true. So that might be possible in the future. We'll have to wait and see. But while we're waiting for that, Jeff, let's get into some cards that we like. But this is actually a pretty important time in our Magic Arena life, as but mostly collection, honestly. Just making sure that we can get the cards we need. Jeff, what is our no pass list? Give it to us.
All right, so here at the Arena Regulars, we like to start off a new set by playing a lot of limited, mostly draft, in order to help build our collection. And then after we've built a collection and or gotten sick of the draft format, we start playing constructed. And yeah, I don't know, Zach just never gets sick of the draft format. So that's why I said and or, because it's
Gotcha.
usually I'm the one in that bucket. But when you're drafting a new set, there's a lot of cards to read, and there's a lot of like, ooh, should I take this rare that's kind of cool, or should I go take this other card that's better? And so, what we like to do is front load a lot of that thinking, where we just look through the set, we pick the rares that we definitely want, and we would take them over anything else in the set because we want them for our collection. And that way, when that card comes up in a draft, we aren't panicking under a 30-second timer deciding if that card's cool enough to take over the good limited removal spell or whatever. We just take that card because we've already made that decision ahead of time. It's something we've been doing pretty much since the start of the show, and I've found it insanely helpful every single set. It's so nice to just click that card, it's selected, and then you sit back and you read all the other cards in the pack. And you're just like, oof, now I have like a minute to just read some of these cards and get ahead of things here. And we've talked about this numerous times, but the incremental value you get over your like 23rd playable being slightly better than whatever it would be your 20 what would be your 24th if you didn't take the card that's good for your deck, is not going to be enough better than just having the card you know you're going to play in Constructed. So we're all about rare drafting. That doesn't mean take any rare over any non-rare. It means if there's a card that you actually do want for your collection to play in Constructed, it's more valuable to just take that than the like fractional number of gems you get from taking the slightly better card for your deck. Because modern day limited, we have enough playables. That card actually showing up and changing the outcome of a game, like all of those things have to stack together for it to matter. And generally speaking, just take the card you want.
Yeah, exactly. If you open a pack and you're like, sick, the sweet planeswalker's in it, but I'm not in those colors, so I should pass it because that's what all the people tell me to do because that's how you really draft. Fuck that. Don't do that. Take the card you want.
This isn't the pro tour, you know?
No. Even on the Pro Tour, everyone was taking Leyline to the Guild packs because it costs so much money. So,
Yeah, there's the
like,
famous Tarmogoyf pick, right? So,
yeah, it's just like, it does, everybody does it. Just don't let everybody make you feel bad about it, and don't spend rare wild cards on things you could just get in the draft.
don't take the common and then hope that you open that planeswalker in your prize pack. Like,
No,
just
no, no,
take
no.
it.
Just take it. So, there's also a good reminder that all the cards on a no pass list are always rares. We don't care about commons or uncommons because we have so many of those wild cards. And if you have an issue with common and uncommon wild cards, you might want to look at your wild card spending habits and deal with those first. All right. So we also have another rule on the Arena Regulars, but this time it's a little bit different. So with basically every set, the first thing we look at for the no pass list is the mana base. So rare dual lands are always the number one first pick on a no pass list. Having budget decks that have bad lands can be like the turn that you lose from having a tap land could be making it or breaking it. You can
Oh, yeah.
still build budget decks, but your mana base should be good. You want to make sure that you can get all your colors. So having a good mana base is paramount. So usually those are a slam dunk for our no pass list, but you know what? This time around, I feel a little bit differently.
Yeah, you might pass these.
I'm gonna pass these for sure. It's gonna feel so weird, but and that's not to say that these lands are bad.
No,
So
they're excellent.
they're excellent lands. We finally get the rest of the we get the enemy cycle of fast lands. So we get the green black one, the green blue one, the white black one, the red white one, and the blue red fast land. So it enters untapped for the first two turns. Or sorry, the first three turns, my bad. But I already have these. I have all of them. I got them when Kaladesh came, and this is the first time we've had a cycle of lands where we actually had the cycle previously. Like this
It's
hasn't
a
happened
reprint.
on Arena before. So this is like a kind of a big deal. It's the first time I can relax on the lands, and it feels weird.
That feels so weird that it's never happened before too. I
Yeah,
was
it's
like, it never happened with the shock lands. I'm like, no, it's
no.
just the one kind of shock land. So I'm in a weird spot where I don't think I have all of these. I did not draft Kaladesh that much. I just crafted whatever I needed. So we might be in a spot where we have like two concealed courtyards, probably zero or one inspiring vantage, stuff like that. So I was like, oh, I might need two of these, two of those. And then I realized I really don't want to have two Kaladesh Blooming Marshes and two Outlaws Blooming Marshes. So I may just need to, like, if I don't already have a play set, I may need to try to collect a play set of these.
Of the specific ones, those botanical sanctums, you gotta. I know you don't have those ones.
I don't think I have a play set. That would be one of the ones that I think I might have like two of because I played Sultai at some point or
Oh,
something and
sure.
maybe crafted one or two of those, but there's no way I have four. Spire Bluff Canal, also, no
Yeah.
way I have four. Blooming
So,
Marsh, I probably have four.
Definitely. So I would say before you get into it, check which ones you, because you might have some of these already in your collection. Check them out and make sure you try to keep your art play sets together. Because on our, I mean, you don't have to. Obviously, you can
If it
play with
matters to
mismatched
you.
ones if it matters to you. It just makes building decks such a pain on Arena.
It's
In
annoying, yeah.
paper, it's just like, these are the ones I have. On Arena, it's like, it's telling me I can't import this deck, but that's because my copies are a different co thing and you have to go through and do all that stuff. So annoying. You should just be able to take whatever arts you have and just like turn it into the other one. You can just trade it into the store for a playset of the same. I don't know why
That
they
would be
don't let us do
cool.
that. It just like makes it easier and consolidates everything, but
Well, that's why they don't let us do
of course not.
it. Yeah.
But anyway, it's going to feel very weird this set to be passing all the lands, as well as Modern Horizons 3, the exact same thing's happening. We're getting the fetch lands that we already
The fetch
got
lines that
from
we already got, yeah.
Tarkir. So, yeah, a couple weird sets of no rare lands for me.
See, and I think it bodes well for me because I think people are going to be passing these at a higher rate than they
That's
used to.
true. Yeah, because
I
I
mean,
will
these
for
are
sure.
pretty decent in limited, so
Yeah.
they're like sometimes the you get that sweet spot if the dual lands suck in limited, so you're like, ooh, jackpot. People are passing these. But these ones are pretty good. You just have to want to splash or be in those colors or whatever. So
Yeah, I do think that the Surveil lands from the last set were just a lot better because
Oh, much better than
they did
these, yeah.
something in draft, as well as you could there are numerous different ways that you could actually search for them because of the type line.
Yeah.
So these are lower on my pick order for actually, like I just don't really care about them in draft that much.
They're not great. They're a bit better than, the ETB tapped dual lands.
I don't know. The ETB tap dual lands commit a crime. So,
Oh, I don't even mean the one like in this set. I just
oh,
the
sorry.
generic
Oh,
like
sorry. I understand what you're saying. I was going to
yeah.
say the deserts in this set.
Oh, the
They,
deserts are probably better because
they're yeah.
they have desert synergies, they commit crimes, and like sure they don't cast your one or two drops, but
But whatever. If you're
yeah.
splashing, they basically do the same thing
You're not
because.
usually curving out like crazy in limited, so
Yeah, and hopefully not with this set, as I think there will be an uproar if we get another super fast set, as the limited fanatics are getting kind of mad with how
I would
fast
love
limited
it.
has been. I mean, I've been liking fast sets, I'm enjoying them, but when like the common white one drop is an 0/4, I think it's going to be a little bit slower than our previous
Yeah.
formats.
Hey man, Jean-Emmanuel Duprat said the last format wasn't fast and people were wrong. So we can argue with a world champion here.
Yeah, because he didn't go 6-0 in the draft, right? At the PT? The
Never,
Boros
nevertheless.
Oh, but
I
anyway.
trust that he knows better than the limited whiners.
That's true, probably. But with that being said, Jeff, what are some cards that we haven't talked about that you're excited for to pick up on your no pass list? Because if
Yes.
we've been talking about these cards for the last few weeks. So if there's something that we left off that seems very obvious, we've kind of talked about it already.
Yeah, the auto include the next like tier of auto include after the rare dual land cycle or tri-land or whatever, the rare land cycle is usually the planeswalkers are my next thing I look at. I don't always include them. There was that weirdo Kaya where I was like, is there ever any chance I play this? I don't know if I put that on my no pass list just in case, but I actually had some situations where I didn't care about it. So
Yeah.
it's not a shoe-in. But I think these ones, especially Jace, are pretty cool. So Jace is for sure on my no pass list. I have no idea if it's good. I
I
have
don't know
no
either.
clue. This is such a weird card, but it looks like it could be good.
Yeah.
And it looks like even if it's ends up being kind of bad, one of those cards that I would play anyways, just be like, I know this card sucks, but I like it.
Exactly.
And I think Oko's cool too. So Oko's on there. Again, I don't really know if this Oko is good. I'm confident in saying it's not as good as the other Oko, but that's about as
I
good as I
think that's,
got.
I mean, like, I thought the other Oko was terrible when it came out, so
Yeah, so
You
maybe
know.
this one's actually better.
It has a minus ability, so I think we're safe.
Yeah, I don't know why it has two minus, like that middle one should really be like a plus two.
Plus two, create a 3/3 elk. Yeah, totally.
And he should start at six loyalty.
Six for sure. Oh God. I also have Duelist of the Mind on my list. I also have the Planeswalkers. But Duelist of the Mind is the world championship card for Nathan Stourier. We haven't actually read it in a while, so maybe we should just revisit it very quickly. I'm not sure if it's going to do much of anything, but honestly, just for my collection, I like having all the world championship ones, and I just know I'm gonna like having them and hope to be able to play them. But Duelist of the Mind is one in a blue for a star 3 creature human advisor with flying and vigilance. It says Duelist of the Mind's power is equal to the number of cards you've drawn this turn, and whenever you commit a crime, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. And it only triggers once a turn. Well, now that we've seen more of the how all the crimes trigger and everything, I mean, we already knew what committing a crime was before, but even in limited, I think that it's just gonna be so easy to commit crimes. That's just what you want to do already.
It's a really low bar.
Yeah, and drawing, like looting through your deck seems great, and then any cards that let you draw cards, this thing seems kind of interesting. As well as, who knows, there's that Prof's Eidetic Memory from the last set is an enchantment that cares about drawing cards before combat and then puts counters on stuff. So then that works pretty well with this as.
Perfect in the this is perfect in that deck.
So that seems kind of interesting. They're both two drops, but like cheap blue cards that draw you cards that want to affect your opponent's board. I don't know. There's something there. And seems kind of fun. Also, just putting counters on this so it's always has a power, even on defense. That's good. So.
And you know what, the recent world champion cards have had a history of seeing a lot of play,
Yeah.
so especially in standard. So this one doesn't read like those one the both of those cards kind of wowed me as soon as I saw them. This card was a little more all right. It's like a interesting body with a looter. You can think of it as something that loots every turn and is also kind of getting in there for damage. Definitely powerful, but it wasn't like immediately obvious to me that everyone's going to play this. So I would be a little more like, what deck are we playing where we want this? And I think the blue black like Eidetic Memory deck is exactly a perfect spot that already exists for it. So I'd be pretty comfortable like chasing after these. But I'm not super excited about it personally. I expect to play against this quite a lot, but
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sold that I will want to play this, I guess. So
Yeah,
I've
it is.
left it off, but realistically, I'll probably take it as if I see it, unless I have good reason otherwise.
I mean, we still have Ledger Shredder in standard as well, and it has a kind of similar vibe
I
of
feel
like
like Ledger
looting through
Shredder
your
is better
deck.
than this, but.
And Ledger Shredder already puts the counters on itself. You just have to play a lot of cards, so.
Right.
And your
Yeah,
opponent.
it does kind of feel like weaker Ledger Shredder to me a little
Yeah,
bit,
it might seem like it has vigilance. Anyway, we'll have to see it, but it does kind of give off the vibe of like, oh, Ledger Shredder wasn't going to be in standard anymore, so this could kind of take the place of it. So.
or maybe this like in the Phoenix E kind of deck where you're just looting like crazy and this is just ends up hitting for five or six every turn. Maybe this is better. I don't know.
And it doesn't become a lightning rod for removal because it can build up faster than the other one does. The other one gets big and it can block and things, but this can kill out of nowhere. I don't know. Maybe it's more explosive. Maybe this is a Picnic Ruiner card.
Everything's a Picnic Ruiner card.
No, you don't commit crimes in Picnic Ruiner. You
Then you
just
have to play
target
Wet
yourself.
Gruel.
Yeah. Ugh. Wet Gruul. You mean Moist Gruul?
Oh yeah, Wet Gruel to
Sloppy.
rain on your picnic.
Dig
Oh,
your
there's something
picnic. Ooh, that's pretty good. I
there.
like raining on your picnic. But yeah, Duelist of the Mind seems pretty interesting.
Seems all right. Not too
Seems
shabby,
all
Nathan.
right.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, good job.
Next one is another one we both have on here. We talked about it a bit, so we don't need to talk about it necessarily too much more. I think a lot of people are talking about this card. Slick Shot Show Off. This is the one in a red, 1/2 Flying Haste Bird Wizard. It has plot for one in a red, and whenever you cast it on creature spell, it gets +2/+0 until end of turn. I'll remind you, Flying in Haste. This is, yeah, you plot this on turn two, and then turn three, you jam it, and you opt three times, and you attack them for 7 Flying Haste.
Or giant growth, or just whatever you want.
Giant Growth, yeah, of course, the Picnic Ruiner deck.
The other thing that's,
Audacity, baby.
yeah, Audacity, literally anything. What's fun about this card is that, like, I think that deck, the Picnic was, I always talk about Picnic Ruiner because I love that deck. And sometimes, you know, there are certain games where you're playing the, like, chicken of, like, I attack, but I can't pump it too much, or you can kill it with my spells on the stack thing. And this kind of goes in the part of my opponent can never play anything else out or like tap out for something that's important, because if this is just hanging out plotted, it's like it could just kill you out of nowhere. So then you start playing this other kind of longer game of like, I'm not trying to combo you off on a turn, but I am showing you I have the ability to, even if my hand is all lands. It's too threatening and you can't rip it out of my hand with a bat or something. So like it's sitting there, and I could just
Although
win.
the bat would tell them you
All right,
have
well, I guess that's true. I guess that is true. Maybe there's a flaw in my picnic plan, but
died.
I still think it's gonna be sweet in that deck. We have more room for two drops. Maybe we can start getting rid of some of our Monastery Swift Spears are not as important if we have something
I
like
mean, this is like a
this.
Swift Spear on steroids.
Yeah, exactly. Juiced up Swift Spear. Maybe
That's right.
go down a couple of Swift Spears, play these instead. I like it. I'm about it. I want as many as I can get, which is
Yeah, I
four.
just wanted because it doesn't even necessarily go in the type of decks I play. I just like it. I just think it's a good card. I'm like, there's a good chance I want these at some point. So,
Yeah.
yeah, any sort of
Deck.
red
Even
based deck,
just
any red
burn.
deck. Yeah, I
Literally
guess
just
any
burn.
red deck that is at all interested in being aggressive and has non-creature spells, I guess. Don't put this in your all creature deck. It's not very good.
Flying haste,
Oh, no, come on.
one.
It's a 1/2.
I know,
This
I'm kidding.
is Stormcrow.
Imagine. It's a really good storm crow.
You take that back. Nothing is
Yeah.
better than Stormcrow.
Oh my gosh, I loved Storm Crow as a kid. That all
Who
that
didn't?
those memes really got to me. Something, there's something about it. There's something about Storm Crow that's just so poetic. You know, that's the one thing I do like about this set is that we kind of get to go back to just random, like a creature that's just like regular. This isn't part of the no pass list thing, but I just wanted to give a quick shout out to this fantastic card. Let's see, I just need to find it really quickly.
Yeah, hunt it
But
down, hunt it
yeah,
down.
just Giant Beaver. I'm so happy that we just have a card called Giant Beaver. That we're playing Magic with. It's like a common, but it gives that feeling of like grizzly bears, some lions, you know, like a crow. And
Yeah,
then there's just
it
a
has way too many effects to be an old card, but
yeah
it's like a
there
4/4 for 4 with 3 abilities
yeah there's not
at
enough
common.
there's not enough
That's
downside for the for this to be an
yeah,
old card.
if this is an old card, it would 4/4 for 4. Oof, there would be some downside stapled to this
Yeah, you're gonna have to pay the
thing.
mana cost for the next three turns, and
Yeah.
it slowly loses its power over time.
And when it dies, you lose 5 life. It staples so
Yeah.
many downsides to the creatures back then.
Honestly, if they actually, for reals, if they made a giant beaver card back in the day, actually, I don't even know if they made. Is there another beaver in Magic? Let me quickly look this up. But as I'm doing that, you'd probably have to sacrifice a forest or something when it died, because it would eat your lands, right? Because it's a
Right,
beaver.
that is what would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, sacrifice 3 forests or something. It'd be like, haha, I only had one.
Yeah, take that. That's how I do
That's how I skirted around this upside.
it.
Meanwhile, the spells were so outrageously good that it was just like, why did anybody play creatures ever?
Yeah. So, update. This is the first black bordered beaver card. There was a card
Ah,
called.
silver.
There's an Eager Beaver card in Unstable. So There you go.
So, as a Canadian podcast, we had to shout out the first appearance of the noble beaver
Of the
in the
giant beaver as he
the
munches on it.
majestic beaver in
Yes.
Magic Again.
We should have been eating beaver tails, dang it. The Canadian delicacy that I learned about when I moved up here.
It's like fried dough dipped in sugar for anyone
Basically, yeah.
listening. We're not actually eating the
Oh yeah.
tail of
Yeah.
a
Yeah,
beaver.
it's kind of like a Canadian churro, kind of. It has like,
Unrolled, yeah.
yeah, unrolled and flat with like Nutella smeared on it and M&Ms or whatever you can.
Oh, don't get those ones, man. Just the one with lemon. Just the one with lemon and sugar,
Lemon.
man. Yeah. They call it the Kilauea Sunrise.
Oh, that sounds very
That's the one to
cool.
get.
Okay, I didn't know that. All I know is that there's just a million flavors. It's like Baskin-Robbins. There's like 31 different
I
kinds of
know, it's
beaver
crazy. I
tails.
feel like when I was a kid, there was like 10, and even that was overwhelming.
There really should just be three, and one of them's a pizza.
Yeah, one of them's
Yeah.
pepperoni.
And that's the one I would get all the time. And people are like, oh, I love beaver tails with the cinnamon sugar. I'd be like, yeah, and the cheese and the jalapenos. And
It's
be like,
like,
what?
are you sure you weren't just eating a pizza?
Yeah. It's literally just a pizza, just a flatbread
That
pizza. Oh, God. Anyway,
was a
beaver
tangent
tails.
I didn't think we'd go on tonight.
Never, never, ever. It's the $2 beers talking. That's what's bringing out the like the carny food. Jeff, do you have a card you want to talk about that's from the main set that's on your no pass list?
Yes, so this one is near and dear to my heart, and so I have a soft spot for this particular character. So I will be, if I see this card, I will pick it up, which is the Gitrog Ravenous Ride. So it's three black green for a 6/5 trample haste. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you may sacrifice a creature that saddled it. If you do draw X cards, then put up to X land cards from your hand onto the battlefield tapped, where X is the sacrifice creature's power. At first, I was disappointed in this card because it's not like anything like the theme of the original Gitrog, other than it mentions lands.
It has the word land in it.
It draws cards and it has land, the word land in it, and it has the word sacrifice on it. But you know what? After taking a step back, I was like, I could see this being played in a mid-range deck that you have to care about trying to get your opponents dead because the haste is the trample haste 6/5 is what you're really buying here. Like, how often do you want to saddle? And you can saddle it right away, I guess. So there's a lot going on here. It's powerful. It's probably not good enough to like get there. And it neat requires a black green mid-range deck to kind of be interested because this is expensive for aggro and you're not going to play this in control.
Yeah,
But
I
I don't know. I don't hate the design. I hated it at first and now I've like come around to it after reading it a couple more times.
yeah, I agree with you. Like it has saddle one, so you can just sacrifice little things, but I like the incentive of wanting to draw as many cards as possible and saddling something
It's
bigger,
nice
which is pretty
touch.
cool, and sacrificing that. It also works pretty well with, any of the desert lands, because then you get to hit them and then maybe deal two, three damage to them. So that's kind of a fun thing, primarily for limited, but if there's anything in standard that wants to do some funky stuff with those lands, there's a possibility. We have, I mean, obviously they're not the sac lands from New Capenna, which is what's so great about using all the graveyard shenanigans with those, because you just get to rip all the lands out of your deck. But I like the flavor of this one. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, I could see this being anywhere from mediocre to quite good. It depends on if there is
Yeah.
a deck that, like, imagine the black green deck that is sort of kind of a tier two standard deck, but this will push you to go a little more aggro than that deck is currently, because now you have this big finisher that's going to get you through a few points of damage at the end and refuel your hand if you. Like you don't need to be constantly worried about having cards in hand because you could always kind of do the big refuel with this or
Yeah.
do the classic aggro deck card advantage of get 'em did.
That's true.
But
Get rock, get 'em did.
So I could imagine like really taking that deck and making it lower to the ground with some one drops and some a few more two drops, and then you still have your Glissa, which is essentially unblockable. That whole thing going on. I don't know if that would be a tier one deck, but I could see it being a deck that is functional, and
Yeah.
I'm probably going to try it if I see these in my packs. I don't know if I'll ever end up crafting this, so it's really just
Gotcha.
do my
Okay.
prize packs or do my packs in the draft contain it? Then I'll pick them up and I'll see if I get there on this black green aggro deck. But
I like that. We haven't really talked about that as an aspect of the no pass list of like, you know what, if I see this, I want it, but I will never want to have to craft this. And it kind of fits in another realm of the no pass list we've just never kind of talked about. It's similar to building a commander deck around a card that you just have in your collection or you opened randomly in like a pack from just when you have them and be like, yeah, I have this. I guess I'll build a deck around it. It has that same feel, I think, which I like. It's part of what makes Magic magic.
It's kind of like the I would never buy this for myself, but I would like
But
to own it,
yeah,
you know.
exactly. Like, yeah, the birthday present that you're like, well, you know, those are the best gifts. We're like, I don't really want to spend money on it myself, but having it would be pretty cool. So somebody else buy it for me.
That's right.
Well, I have another card that I'm pretty interested in. I haven't seen a lot of people talk about it. It seems like it is powerful, but just kind of harkens back to another ability that we've seen in the past, or another card, more so. But anyway, this is Avan Interrupter. It's one white white for a 2/2 creature bird rogue with flash and flying. And it says when it enters the battlefield, exile target spell, it becomes plotted. And then spells your opponents cast from graveyards or from exile cost two more to cast. I like this. It's like a white counter spell, kind of, but makes the spell cost more and also go back to sorcery speed, which can be really important if you're in some sort of weird counter battle, which might be fun in like a. If you're playing, I'm thinking of this in either like white. Black, white, blue, probably white, blue, flash stuff, which is already trying to get in the realm and standard into a spot. But being able to, what the heck is that spirit called? The one that, Spell Queller. This is kind of like a Spell Queller where you can, like steal a spell off the stack and it doesn't resolve. This one pushes it into, like, you can only play this at sorcery speed and on your turn. You can also put this on your own spell if you want, if it's going to get countered.
But you mentioned like briefly in there, it makes the spell cost more. Does it make the spell cost more, or does it make the spell cost two?
Two more to cast.
But if it's plotted, it's free, right?
Oh, true, true, true. So it costs two.
It just costs them two. Now, all of their other plotted stuff costs two more. And I think if you kill this, unlike Elite Spellbinder, if you kill this,
It doesn't
the
cost two
spell is
anymore.
now free. I don't know. It's interesting, but for that like downside against like the natural comparison point for me is Elite Spellbinder. The downside is that you. That's the downside. The upside is you get to cast this at instant speed. You get to
Instant
like take a
speed.
whole turn away, whereas Elite Spellbinder doesn't really do that. They just have to play their second best option, like because you spent your turn to do it. And then I don't know. Yeah, I guess Elite Spellbinder was my natural go-to, but maybe it's just not an Elite Spellbinder at all. It's more of like a kind of tempo-y Spell Queller kind of thing.
It kind of feels like that to me. I mean, like thinking about the worst things that that's why I keep saying counter spells, because counter spells being plotted is the worst possible thing because they're just gone. They're just useless. So if you have something you're trying to protect from counter spells, or you can do this to your own spells, if something's happening to your spells or they're going to be countered. So it feels like, I mean, while I'm saying this, the meta doesn't feel super strong for it. So I don't know if this is like a sideboard card against those types of things. Because unlike Spellqueller, you don't really get to try to get a board wipe or something like that,
Yeah, it
which
doesn't
would,
have the wrath protection that Spellqueller does.
yeah, it just kind of makes them have to wrath next turn, which might be
Right.
enough, you know.
Sometimes it's enough, for sure. I guess it has wrath protection in the sense that you also can let the wrath resolve and then flash in a 2-2.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I mean, if your board is big enough, you can stop it for the turn. Because they if it becomes plotted, they can't play it until
Yeah,
next turn.
for
And
sure.
then maybe that's enough, you have
And you can
enough on
stack
board.
these too. I mean, that's
That's
also
true.
worth noting. Like, play the first one, exile it. They play it again. You play the second one, exile it. Now it costs four.
That's true. I like that. I also like
I
that's
think
in
it's a
the
cool card. And if mono white or those white based aggro decks kind of come back into fashion, maybe replacing the Boros Convokes. I don't know if Boros Convoke is super interested in this. Because it's
No.
very, very expensive for
It's
them.
a single creature. I don't think they're interested in that.
Yeah, and it doesn't, like, three mana is a lot for them to pay if they're not cheating it out with Convoke nonsense. So, maybe in this in their sideboards, I could see it against not sure what, but it could make its way there. But if mono white, just like mono white aggro kind of creaturey. We're not quite as fast as mono red, but our cards are better and we have more disruption. That kind of deck comes back into style, which I do think there are cards for that exist
Yeah,
in standard.
there's also another card that's that I oh, there's another card on that I really wanted to put on my list, and I'm still kind of thinking about it, but it's exactly in the vein of the white decks coming back into fashion,
Right.
which is a big reprint that we're getting in this set,
Oh, yeah.
that I always thought was a lot of fun, but it could definitely be,
You may be
you
alone
know.
in that one, but
The card that I'm talking about is Archangel of Tithes, which is one white, so it's 4 mana total for a 3/5 creature angel with flying. And it says, as long as Archangel of Tithes is untapped, creatures can't attack you or planeswalkers you control unless they pay one for each of those creatures. And as long as it's attacking, creatures can't block unless the controller pays one for each of the creatures that block. So, I mean, this is a taxi card. This is a attacky card.
Yeah.
This like I like this card. I think this was in one of the like I don't know if it was a welcome deck, but it was like almost a beginner product that I was playing with, and I was like, this card's sick. Maybe it was literally just Magic Origins. But I love this card. And so seeing it come back looks like, oh, maybe we just do play Mono White again. I like it.
Remember playing against this card in Limited a lot, and I hated it. I was like, oh my God, it's so annoying. Because in order to get past the 3/5, you want to attack with a lot of stuff to like go wide around it. But
But then you
you
don't play
can't, or
anything.
then you don't get to play anything, and your board doesn't develop, and you slowly lose to the 3/5 blocking something every turn.
Whenever they want to turn their board sideways, you can't always block, or it's exactly the turn that you're like, I think I can play another blocker. Nope, shouldn't have played
Yeah.
anything.
I wasn't sure if you were talking about that or your next card from Big Score there, but
Well, I
I guess you
mean,
did say it wasn't on your list,
yeah,
but
that was the one that wasn't on my list, but I'm excited for this card to come back. I just don't know if it's going to be a huge thing or not. So I think it's not on my list. But I think it will be hard not to pick it. So it might
Well,
be
the
the.
thing about this card is it's like pretty nuts in draft. So I guess if you're not white, though, you
It's
would pass it.
triple white. It's so hard
Yeah,
to cast.
that's true. So you want to be heavy white. Yeah. I'd pass it if I wasn't white. Fuck that card. I got one more from the main set that I'd like to talk about, and I don't think we've talked about it yet.
We
So,
haven't.
this is me holding on. This is my last ditch effort for something that I've wanted to make happen for years, Zach. Years. And we're coming up to my last chance.
Okay.
So this is Satoru, the Infiltrator. This is 2/3 menace for a blue black legendary creature, human ninja rogue. It costs one blue and one black. Whenever Satoru and or one or more other non-token creatures enter the battlefield under your control, if none of them were cast or no mana was spent to cast them, draw a card. This doesn't get the ninja deck finally going. I don't know what will. This is our last hope. It's the last hope for a standard ninja deck that doesn't totally suck. And you know what? I'm hopeful. This card is exactly powerful enough to pique my curiosity, I think. Very cool. I like that it synergizes with a lot of other stuff going on in the set, so you don't have to only care about ninjas to be interested in this card,
That's
but that
true.
it also works with the ninja mechanic.
With ninjutsu specifically.
Yeah, when I saw that it, when I first read it, I skipped past the non-token word and I was like, this card's insane and I need four copies of it. But then I was like, there's no way it does that, right? There's no way it lets me draw a card every time I make a token. And I went back and I was like, correct. It does not let me draw a card every time I make a token. So that was a real bummer. So then I thought the card sucked again. But then I came back around and was like, you know what? This is what ninjas needed. We need to be ninjutsuing stuff in and refilling our hand for the next one while we
As you
do
do
it.
it.
So.
That's true. It also has menace, so it gets through there. Of course, if you ninjutsu in and bring him back, then you don't get the card.
Yeah.
But I did want to, I just thought that, like, we haven't tried the ninja deck with Ginger Brute yet, right? Have we?
I didn't play it with Ginger
Because
Brute.
Ginger Brute is, like, the perfect card for that deck.
That's true.
Because
Ginger Brute's an excellent enabler.
you love to have that in your hand. And,
Yeah.
like, playing it. It's a two mana, like you can ninjutsu whatever you want if you have that mana for it. So staying in your hand is not an issue for that card. And you don't have to worry about your mana base getting kind of funky, where you're like, oh, I wish I had my red removal, but I need my blue for my one drop or whatever. Yeah, Ginger
Well,
Brute.
thank you for derailing my first few weeks of stand the new standard format where I play
Playing.
Ginger Brute Ninjas. Ninja Brute.
The ninja cookies. I love it. So good. That'll be sweet. Yeah, until you were talking about it, I didn't pay too much mind to this card and didn't really think about it in the ninjutsu way, so that makes me more excited.
I think one of the interesting things about this card is like lately, it feels like every card they make enables itself. And I kind of like that this one doesn't. It doesn't
Totally.
have ninjutsu itself, or it doesn't have a way to be cast for free itself. It does allow that possibility because it says whenever this or something else, if it was free. You know, in older formats, you could play like Sultai Collected Company or something, just slap a couple creatures, draw a card, not too shabby.
All
Probably
right.
not good enough, but you know, I think that's cool. Like, and I
That is cool.
think I may be wrong, but this may be the same character that the previous version granted everyone ninjutsu.
No, you're right. This is the same
So
character,
in that way, he does enable himself, but you have to play the other version of him in order to like make this trigger itself. So I also think that's kind of nice. But I was I had to reread the card because I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't draw a card on its own. They don't do that anymore. All creatures are like a self-fulfilling prophecy now.
It's true. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. No, it seems good. It also costs two mana. I always love cards that cost two mana.
Can't argue with that. That's what the ninjas deck really needed, was more two
More two
drops.
drops. Yeah. They aren't stacked up on two drops. Like, huh, maybe some of these should be one. Three
Yeah.
mana? Nah, that's too much. Way too
No,
much.
no three drops.
No three drops. Ugh. Not unless I can ninjutsu them in for two.
Although I feel like I was always like, oh, I didn't play three drops in rogues. Like, You just don't play three drops in these decks. And then I was like, that's because I was playing Lurrus of the Dream Den. I need to remember that I no longer have access to Lurrus of the Dream Den.
That
So
is true.
maybe a three drop or two can sneak in.
Yeah, I still
Zart
like
doesn't
just,
love
no, I like
it.
ones and twos. You know me, I like my P's and my Q's, my ones and twos.
Yeah.
Talking about a one or two drop, we got some sweet news last week. This goes right into what we're talking about. So last week we were talking all about like Stoneforge Mystic and cards that we wanted to use with Stoneforge Mystic. And then right after we recorded the episode, a card got spoiled the next day. And I was like, this is the card that I probably want to be playing with Stoneforge Mystic.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I don't know if it's going to be as good as its counterpart, but it is so fucking exciting that this was in the vault. I like flipped my shit when I saw this.
I was thinking of you when I saw this too. I was like, Zach is probably flipping his
Yeah. I
shit.
think I was in the grocery store being like, oh, da, 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 trying to like message everybody while I'm
Just
like,
buying such random shit.
shit, like not even paying attention, throwing it in my cart.
I ended up with mango flavored tempeh.
So this is Lost Jitte, which is a single one mana for a legendary artifact equipment from the vault. It says whatever equipped creature deals combat damage, put a charge counter on Lost Jitte.
Just one?
It just puts one
Oh,
counter.
that's weird. It's
All
kind of
right.
underpowered, don't you think?
It says remove a charge counter from the Lost Jitte. You can choose one of the next three abilities. Untap a land. Sorry, untap target land. That might be important because it does commit a crime. It
If you
could.
want,
It
yeah.
could commit a crime. Target creature can't block. I guess that's more of the crime, really. The
If
can't
they don't
block
have any
thing.
creatures, you need to commit a crime.
That's true. That's true. And put a plus one counter on equipped creature, and it equips for a single colorless or generic. Sorry. So obviously, this card harkens back to Umezawa's Jitte, which is a card that, oh, man, I loved that card as a kid. It was obviously really busted in that standard format. It's basically this, but for every time you see a one, there's a two instead, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't untap two lands, I don't
It
think.
no, it gains two life though.
Yeah.
It put two charge counters on it. Another thing to notice, if you haven't
Two.
played it, yeah, put
Two.
two charge counters on it. You could what put a plus one counter on the creature and give a creature minus two or something.
Yeah,
And you
let
removed
me just
one.
double check. But it was like outrageous.
It was outrageous. But this is like one of the first big legendary equipments
Oh yeah,
that
it was plus two or
-1.
minus one.
But you
Yeah.
could remove two charge counters from it to kill a creature with two
Right, and it was
toughness.
all at like instant speed. Anyways, it's
Yeah.
a little insane.
The important thing to know with this is that it says when an equipped creature deals combat damage, it's not combat damage to a player. It's just
Yeah.
any if it fights, it gets or not fights, but if it gets in combat with anything.
If you're a more like a recent or modern player who has a played when the original was around, you probably just assumed it said combat damage to a player. It does not say that. Any combat damage is sufficient. And the fact that the charge counter goes on the equipment means that if you lose your creature in
Literally,
combat,
it doesn't
you
matter.
can still just re-equip it and make use of that charge counter later. This is way closer to the original than I thought they would ever go. This is like
This card is sick.
an insanely good equipment by today's standards. Like,
Yes. Like, we haven't seen good equipment like this in a while. Now, granted, there's so many things that blow up artifacts now that, like,
yeah, I
it
mean,
will
yeah.
be more of a game of trying to figure out when you want to use the things and when you don't. Because a lot of things you can, like, either just load it up on the equipment, but also you can just like remove the counters even if there's not a creature on it. Like you just can't put plus one counters on something, but you can still untap lands to like help you get more things out. You can help your creatures that are on curve be equipped with this by untapping a land and putting it on there again. And like,
Yeah.
there's a lot of
Would you
cool.
take this in draft?
Yes.
Yeah. This has got to be best pack one, pick one.
Probably it's the cheapest thing. It does everything you want. A lot of limited is about trading off your resources. So if you're trading off your creatures, this is great.
It's so cheap. It costs one to equip and it goes in every single deck. I had the pleasure of I went to a Kamigawa draft, a long time ago as a kid. And I had the pleasure of playing against two different players who had this card in their draft deck because it was rare, because mythic rares did not exist that time. And it was not remotely beatable. There was literally no way to win the game if my opponent had that on the battlefield. This is approximately half as good as that.
Yes, like to a T.
But still, that seems pretty powerful based on my 0% win rate and
I
like no hope either. This wasn't one of those cards where you're like, ooh, if I just draw my removal spell, it was like, I do not have a shatter in my deck. So there is nothing I am drawing to. I have to hope my opponent top decks like 15 lands in a row. Then I might have a chance at like killing all their creatures, and then this doesn't do anything. So,
Yeah, because eventually all the charge counters are gone.
but they just have to draw any creature, and it's right back to being a big problem.
I want to remind everyone also that Umezawa's Jitte came in the pre-constructed ninjas deck in Champions of Con or Betrayers of Kamigawa. That's when the card came out. And
Yes, that's the it was a Champions Betrayers draft that I was in because they used to do that.
And so that was like it was also just accessible. I still have my old Umezawa's Jitte, which is beat to shit because I brought it to Boy Scout camp without sleeves because that's what we used to do. And like,
Course,
it's so
played on
bricked.
rocks.
Yeah, just on like wooden picnic tables with like dirt everywhere.
Yeah.
So anyway, super sick. Even more than the Sword of Wealth and Power, like Lost Jutei is that's what it
Oh,
is.
this is way
That's the
cool.
shit. That's
When
what's
I
cool.
saw this, I just read the title, I saw the like
The art.
picture, and I was like, oh yeah, they have like a cute hearkening back to the Jitte. It's gonna be like garbage because they're so worried about it. It's gonna somehow remind me of it a little, but it's gonna be so bad. And then I read it and I was like, that is way closer than I thought they would come. That actually seems good. Like, maybe I'm crazy, but this card seems good and it's
I
on
don't
my
think
list as well.
this card seems sweet, and I
And
also
don't pass it in draft ever.
don't
If
pass
you,
it. Don't
whatever
pass
you're
it.
playing, this goes in your deck, take it. And I
Yeah.
better not be seeing these second or third pick. I mean, I would love that, but I would be disappointed in the community.
With the don't pass list, it's really difficult because now with play boosters, there's so many different cards that you can
That's
get.
the only acceptable answer is you don't think this is constructed playable. You took a constructed playable over this.
The other thing I
This
want to mention
might be
just.
powerful enough, though, and for sure going to make your deck that it kind of tips the scales towards
That's true. Just
take
taking
this.
this one. The other thing to mention is that this is part of the the big score vault thing. And so that slot is smaller than everything else. So opening a Lost Jitte is going to be a lot harder to do than opening any of the rares from Breaking News or any of the regular rares. So if you do see one, they're not as common as the other cards because the big score cards are like on a different drop rate. Like you only get a big score card like every one in five packs or something.
And that's for the best. You don't want to be playing against Lost GTA every draft.
Even as like a mythic, which I don't know, all of them are mythics in the big score thing. So that's just for us arena players to deal with the mythics, mythic wildcard stuff. Yay. That's the
But
one.
again, this comes in as like because of that, am I going to craft this card? Maybe I'm just hoping to open this in my prize packs or in my draft packs.
You know what? It's a mythic, so as long as it's not a rare, it's a lot easier to craft with
That's true.
my current wildcard situation. Jeff, so we can. All right, should we just talk about more equipment or should we just move on to another thing? Because I did
You already
remember.
mentioned it, so just jump onto the sword.
All right, so I did
Throw
say it's
yourself on the sword for the sake of the
Jitte is way cooler than Sword of Wealth and Power, but I still want Sword of Wealth and Power.
podcast.
We haven't talked about it yet, but this is a 3 mana artifact equipment. It says equipped a creature gets +2/+2 and has protection from instants and from sorceries. Sweet. And then whenever equipped a creature deals combat damage to a player, create a treasure token. And then when you cast your next instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. This just seems cool. Like, it's this fun, weird thing of like you want to be playing a spells type deck, but also you're giving your creature protection from your half of your deck. Because really, the copying the in, like the instant sorcery, that's the real reason you'd want to play the whole card. Unless you're like, hey, this creature just doesn't get hit with removal and I just make treasures. That's also kind of good. Probably not good enough for standard if that's the only reason you're doing it. Could be an interesting sideboard card, but
I could see it as a sideboard card that basically is like give my thing hexproof
yeah.
against removal heavy decks.
That are not wrathing things.
Which does exist. Like a lot of the black decks in standard right now
That's
really
true.
do rely on being able to kill your stuff with targeted removal. But it's so expensive, man. Like these swords, everyone loves them. They're super cool, but they're not usually good because they're so expensive.
Yeah. Do I play Jitte, which is one to play, one to equip? Or a sword that's three to play and two to equip.
It's just
So
a
hard.
lot, but and then you have to deal combat damage to a player to trigger them. So these sword cycles, I always think, they're cool and I like the flavor of it and I like the theme of the design. This is the first one that kind of piques my interest where it's not just protection from color X, color Y,
Yeah.
because
Well,
those are like always sideboard cards that are just like, if you're playing Gruul, fuck
fuck
you, because
you.
I have pro red, pro green.
Well, it's not just that, but like the reason that those swords were so exciting and good was because when you have pro green, oh my God, pro green, pro red, your opponent can't block. So then they always get hit with the sword. So it
True.
activates. This
Right. It
one,
was one of those self-fulfilling prophecy kind of things.
exactly. This one doesn't do that. It's just like, hey, you can't block with your instance, I guess. Would be kind of interesting if it had protection from tokens or something. That would be fun. But I mean, that's a
Right. So
great
this is
design
a
space,
sort of
honestly.
different take on it where it's
Wizards,
like
wizards. Hey, that's a great design space. Sort of real cardboard. Can't be blocked by double-sided tokens. Perfect.
Protection from tokens and we need to have protection from so emblems.
Tokens and emblems, perfect. Protection from no, it literally just like protection from tokens and lands. And so you can't block with creature lands and you can't block with tokens. You
Get
gotta
a
have
real the card
get a
just
real creature.
that's the flavor text. Get a
Get a
real
real
creature.
creature. Fuck you, control decks. Yeah, get a real creature. That'd be pretty funny. I think that's, you know, we're cooking here.
Then they flash in Wandering Emperor and exile your creature.
Damn it. Oh well, at least they can't block with a stupid samurai.
That's right. Your samurai can only attack now.
Yeah. Anyway, even though we've been kind of talking shit about Sword of Wealth and Power, I still am gonna take it.
It's
And
cool, and especially with, like you mentioned, Stoneforge Mystic, you want all the powerful artifacts you can,
yeah.
because the card looks a lot better when you don't have to pay all this mana for it.
It's true.
And it
Which
protects your Stoneforge, which I think is cool. Like it
it
protects it
does.
from instants and sorceries.
Yeah,
So
exactly. Also in draft, this card is good because you're not worried about board wipes that much.
oh yeah, in
It
draft
protects
this
your
card
creature
is great.
and it makes your removal spells two removal spells, so
Turns every creature you have into like a hexproof beater.
basically.
Like,
Yeah, definitely
and you
worth
might make a
taking.
treasure token here or there. And hell, if you
Yeah.
copy a spell, well, you're just off to the races.
Yeah. Seems sweet. All right, Jeff, we've been talking about things that I like. What are cards that you like? And this first one, I'm not excited about.
You don't love this one?
No.
I thought you'd be really pumped about this one.
No, I'm pretty fucking pissed, actually.
So here we have a really lovely black mid-range card, which we've really craved, I would say. Like recent Standard and maybe Pioneer's really been craving some decent black mid-range cards so
Absolutely,
that
it's
we can
so true.
finally play black-based mid-range decks. This is Harvester of Misery. Three black for a 5/4 menace. When it enters the battlefield, other creatures get -2/-2 until end of turn. Love it. One in a black, discard Harvester of Misery. Target creature gets -2/-2 until end of turn. It does not say you can only activate this as a sorcery. This is Chef's Kiss. This is exactly what your mid-range deck wants. This is a late-game powerful creature. It is a mini sweeper, and it's an early-game removal spell. Yeah, it's a nice card.
This
Menace,
is
just because. Why shouldn't this card have menace? Yeah, tack menace on there. I love
yeah.
it.
Oh, you don't have any small creatures, and also if you have one big creature, you can't even block it.
Yeah,
I just
even the thing that survived still can't block me.
yeah. I don't like this card for all the reasons that you just said. Basically, it's like, oh, hey, black decks, you liked Virtue of Persistence? Here's another one. It's like the same kind of thing. It's like adventure spells that aren't adventures. Obviously, this isn't that because you discard it, but
Yeah,
just
because this can be reanimated with more stuff than
with
virtue can be.
virtue, it
Yeah,
gets
that's right.
brought back
It's a
with virtue.
combo.
It's so annoying. Now, the thing I hate about this is that when this came up, I'm pretty sure you can still activate this ability through Grand Abolisher and kill the Grand Abolisher at
Yeah.
instant speed.
Did we talk about Grand Abolisher? Did we skip over it?
We
But
talked about it last week to ad nauseum,
right. Yeah,
so
right.
I thought we should just skip over it for this
Yeah,
episode.
it's
But
on Zach's list.
yeah, it's very obvious.
Yeah.
But the same thing as last week, we were talking about how a Grand Abolisher is going to be great. Next day, they show this
They're
stinking
like
thing.
JK,
JK, oh,
fuck Grand
this
Abolisher.
specifically kills Grand Abolisher. Fuck you. It's like, oh, sick. All right, never mind. I guess
And it does
that's.
it both ways, you know? Like, I could just play, I'm happy to just play this as a 5/4 menace and take your Grand Abolisher off the table.
Yeah, I guess I'll just have to let it happen. I don't know.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I also don't think it can be Avern Interrupted.
I know, I was literally looking at that too. Because like you're just discarding it and you
Yeah,
can't just it's not a
it's not
spell
a
on this
spell.
deck. So this really throws a huge wrench in my old mono white plans. I'm really not liking it. Good thing nobody plays black in standard. Thank God.
Yeah, what are the chances you run into
Yeah.
that?
Yikes. Anyway, ugh, Harvester of Misery is making me feel miserable.
And just to round out the old big score, we talked about this card a lot last week, mostly about how much I hate it, but I still want it in my collections, and that's Pest Control, which is
You
the
dirty, dirty
I
devil.
know, but I'm gonna need it at some point. So this is the black white sorcery, destroy all non-land permanents with mana value one or less. And how dare they, cycling two. Come on,
Disgusting.
wizards. But
Yeah.
yeah, this is gonna be in some of my sideboards for sure at some point. So might as well just pick them up when I
Yeah, I'm
see them.
gonna pick up a list that has this in the sideboard and take it out and say,
Yeah,
fuck you.
how dare you? I would rather
Yeah.
play 14 cards in my sideboard than get rid of
Exactly. Yeah. And then have a judge be like, hey, do you know that you don't
it. Yeah,
have
are you, I'm sorry. This is
are you
super
okay?
awkward. I'm
You have
pretty sure it's
74 cards in
a
your
registration error.
like,
Nope, did that
nope.
on purpose.
Fuck pest control.
Yeah.
God, stupid
He's like,
freaking.
oh, another pest control guy? Okay.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, we'll put him with the others. So it is really interesting. We were talking about this just a moment ago with Big Score and all that stuff, but the no pass list feels so huge this set
Yeah.
because there's
It
so many bonus sheets. There's like
feels like it's
three.
four different sets,
I know there's
so.
like three bonus sheets. We're like deep into the episode. I haven't even mentioned that yet, but
Yeah.
That's why I feel like this one is so much longer because, like, if I happen to run into certain versions of cards, I'm like, I do need to pick up that card. So it's the actual initial base set of Outlaws of Thunder Junction kind of feels like there are the handful we talked about, and then the rest of them feel pretty cool, but I just don't need to pick them up. The rest of these are like, yeah, I need this for Timeless, I'm sure. As we move into the breaking news segment of our No Pass lists.
I've never had so many tabs open for one set.
For one
Let's go talk
episode,
about
yeah,
it.
I know it's crazy. So Jeff, I'm interested. Your first breaking news card. That's you said you're gonna do it, but I didn't think you're gonna put it on the list. That's
Oh, it's on the list. We talked about it last time, but I want these new Thoughtseizes, man. I want to get four of these. And that's unlikely because it's a mythic rare breaking news card. And I don't know if I'd feel right crafting them. Spoiler alert, I will craft them at some point, but I really like the look of these breaking news cards. I think they're super cool. I kind of just want all of them. And but Thoughtseize is the one that jumps out to me that not that there's anything necessarily wrong with the art for Thoughtseize that is available on Arena, but of the sort of four-ish, I mean, there might be more, but I think there's four Thoughtseize arts now. There may be some
Oh,
secret lair stuff or whatever.
in general. Sorry, I was like, on Arena, we have like one. What are you talking about?
On Arena we have one, and it's my least favorite of the four that I know about. I would love to get, the original. I think that'd be an old border. That'd be pretty sweet. But
Hey, we're going back to Lorwyn, so.
yeah, that's the time. But this one is pretty cool. I love these frames. I think they're awesome. I love the style of the art and how like they're almost like colorized, where it's just like all different shades of one color. Pretty sweet. And so I would love to pick up a play set of these Thoughtseizes, but I kind of just want, like I said, everything, like just scrolling through. Like, I don't know, am I ever gonna play Bedevil ever again? Probably not, but I kind of like want this.
Yeah.
What if I do play Bedevil? I'm gonna want this card. So it's just a shame that we can't like upgrade, like you mentioned.
Yeah, just switch
I'll
them
trade
over.
you these ones for those ones.
I know, it'd be really nice.
But,
The one thing that's actually kind of interesting that's only striking me right now is that, like, have we had cards and like, sorry, the borders of cards look like another piece of paper before? I guess we had the manila folders in the last one. The dossiers, but it felt like there were multiple pieces of paper. There's something cool about having like a piece of cardboard that looks like a piece of paper. That's kind of interesting.
Adventure kind of had the book
Oh,
thing,
that's true. That's true.
but again, that's multiple.
Multiple pages, which this obviously it's the front of a newspaper, so you ideally, obviously, you would have more than one page in your newspaper. But everyone knows the front page is the only one that matters.
Front page of the sports section, baby.
Totally. But anyway, no, this is pretty sick, and I agree with you that I think these look awesome. I think there's been a lot of talk about these looking not enough of the color, you know, like the black ones don't look black enough, or the red ones don't look red enough.
No
I'm like,
way. That's what I like about it. I think
you could
that, like,
actually
I think
tell.
it's exactly enough that you could tell what color it is, but it keeps the aesthetic really cool. Instead of everything being super high contrast, like modern day stuff is also high contrast.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I like them quite a bit as well. So it will be interesting to see if I just pick up whatever I
I would be
see.
curious to see what these look like in paper as well.
Yeah, the only weird thing about the frame is that the bottom has like this big gray chunk, like for no,
Yeah,
that's kind
that
of
part led
strange.
me to thinking they were fake when I was seeing them at the very start, like spoiled on Reddit. I'm like, nah, someone made that in Photoshop. Like, what's with that big gray chunk at the bottom?
Yeah, it's just
But
like,
no,
oh,
it's just what it looks like.
this is just a strange, like, why don't we just have the rest of the paper? No, they just wanted to be cleaner that way, I guess, because they,
Yeah.
I don't
It's
know.
also, it feels a bit bigger than it needed to be. I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, super sick. Thoughtseize, awesome. One of the cards that I really want from this is just Mana Drain, you know? I want four copies of Mana Drain. I want to play it in Timeless.
Yeah.
That card's sick.
And I don't even know if I'll ever need four, but you know what? Let's have them.
Let's have them. Same with Reanimate. We talked about it last week, as well as
Is a
Surgical
card you need
Extraction.
four. You need four reanimates.
Yeah, we need four reanimates. I'd want four is
Surgical, you probably
surgical.
need two, but
Two.
you never know.
You never know.
Pick them up. Pick them up when you see them.
Exactly. A card we didn't talk about last week. Force of Vigor.
That card's banned. Why would you go for it? Why would you go pick
Oh, it's not banned in a format that I'm playing.
it up?
Not that I shouldn't be playing historic. There's no shade to historic, but I
So
just don't
wait,
want to
if
play.
they pre-ban something, do I get wild cards in advance for it getting banned and me potentially picking it up?
Well, no, because you didn't. They only give you wild cards if you already had the card.
But they didn't give me a chance to already have the card. That doesn't feel fair.
That's not their
I'm gonna
fault.
petition Wizards.
Yeah. You should write about it on Twitter. That works.
I will. Yeah, it always seems to get their attention and change their mind.
Yeah. Anyway, Force of Vigor is two green for an instant. If it's not your turn, you may exile a green card from your hand rather than pay the spell's mana cost. Destroy up to two target artifacts and/or enchantments. Sweet.
Yeah, probably need this as well for my timeless sideboards. I didn't have it on my original list, but.
I think like two copies seems good. You don't need to go crazy with it, but a free spell that gets rid of pesky things that ruin your day. Seems great. Seems good.
Just a banger sideboard card.
Banger, banger. Jeff, what do you got for us?
Yeah, so just sort of continuing with what I was saying, I just love these. I'd pick up basically any of them. But in particular, looking at cards I would play, so cards we talked about as being new additions or reprints. I singled out Oko here. I think the Oko looks really cool and is to me a meaningful upgrade on the other Oko art as well. So just
Wait.
because you only see the one Oko Thief of Crowns all the time, and so it's so cool to see a second one and just like, yeah,
Gotcha.
let's pick up the second one. If I see this card, I'd be taking it. So
Yes, let me see. Like, they both are really abby, or ab
yeah.
centric,
But I think
which.
this art is in kind of poking fun at that from like the other art, because this is like I don't know, a little more sketched kind of styling there. They
Yeah.
didn't have to do the ab thing. I think it was like, well, he was shirtless with the abs in the previous art, and that was a thing people talked about, so.
Oh yeah, it's a thing people loved or still love. But he has
So
like
it's an homage, but it's a less of a focal point of the art than it
I
was
don't
in the
know. He has like some really intense like cum gutters right there. I don't know about that. Like it's pretty, and he's blowing a kiss and everything. Like
I
this
just
one's.
mean in terms of like the amount of space in the piece that
Oh, copy that.
actually
Okay.
takes up.
Sure, it's not just like the entire thing. Okay, yeah, but it's yes, it still has the Oko-ness of like, hey. I lost my shirt a long time ago, and you can't make me wear it.
It's still Oko Thief of Grounds, you know,
Yeah.
but
Also, you know, give props that there's a bunch of elk around, and
yeah, of course.
they're obviously something else.
It's pretty cool.
It's good. I do like it. I do like it a lot. I'm just giving you shit.
I want it because I think it's sexy.
Yeah, I want it because I just want to just nuzzle into those abs.
Let's just not finish that sentence, but you
Just
found a way.
yeah. I'm also gonna pick up Mindslaver, like I said I was going to last week. Also, Mindslaver and draft, that's gotta be fun. I am trying to spend the next
It
week.
seems awful in draft.
Oh yeah, it probably, but it could be fun.
It could be fun for
Yeah.
sure.
And finding out a way, like, I wonder what's the worst thing your opponent could play that would be like the best thing for Mindslaver. So, sorry. So, like, the worst thing for them. I don't know if there's anything that just lets you sacrifice your whole board. There is that one, there's that creature that lets you sacrifice creatures to play other cards from your hand. Maybe that would be good to Mindslaver into, though. But probably a terrible draft card. I'm still going to try to do it. With the caveat that probably not this next week. Jeff and I are playing in an RCQ next weekend for sealed, and I think that wasting practice time playing Mindslaver in draft sounds pretty bad.
I don't know. Maybe it's not that bad. I guess you just like attack all and then you select good blocks for yourself, or you make terrible attacks and then you point removal at their own creatures. And it's 10 mana.
You spend 10 mana over 2 turns
And they
to
get to know it's coming because you
wipe some of their
probably aren't
board.
doing it all in one turn. So you play Mindslaver and then they're like, okay, I got to point all my removal spells at you. Like, I got to kill all. Even if
I
it's
gotta
not
do everything.
ideal, I gotta get my hand empty here.
Exactly.
So it seems pretty bad, but it's powerful for sure.
Definitely is.
So you always got to be on the lookout in draft. It's really easy. I think people fall into the mindset of like, oh, that card, LSV told me that card's bad, so I shouldn't be losing to it right now. And
Oh,
it's like,
that's
well, it's
annoying.
powerful. So if once they get it onto the battlefield, it's not bad.
It's
The reason LSV told you it was bad is it's expensive, but once it's on the battlefield, now it's a good card and you should respect it.
Exactly. Plus, yeah, I guess a whole rotation limited is becoming more of a place where you do have ways to deal with artifacts and enchantments in your main deck all the time.
Oh man, it'd
So,
be rough if this just gets shattered
six mana,
somehow.
play it, pass, they shatter it. Ugh.
Yeah, feels
Ugh. Feels
bad.
really bad. But could happen for sure. Definitely, definitely. Yeah. This is really the list. The rest of the cards are like special guests. I just want my 4 copies of Stoneforge Mystic and 4 copies of Prismatic Vista,
Yeah,
which are
I'm
also
with you on
cards.
Prismatic Vista. If I'm being honest, if I see Stoneforge Mystic, good chance I'm just taking it, but it's not something I'm actively going in trying to acquire.
I just think that, like, in my mind, if I ever played Legacy, I would want to play Death and Taxes. And I know we don't have all the pieces, and it's not really a deck in Timeless. If we ever get there, I want to have them.
A
And
lot of the pieces that are missing, I would label as like
never coming.
unlikely to be introduced to Timeless, but
It
like the
just feels like,
Rishadan's port kind of thing, like they don't really like to do
yeah,
that anymore.
I know. But like, it just seems like that's the deck that I'm most interested in playing in Legacy. So,
If they didn't put Wasteland in this set, they're not giving us Wasteland.
maybe Modern Horizons 3 will have a better Wasteland. You gain a treasure.
Now that we got Bridge from Below in this set, I fully expect Modern Horizons 3 to bring us Hogak. So, yes. Hogak and Dredge, bring it on, baby. Arena players thought they knew how to complain before. Wait till you play against Dredge.
Least you can queue up faster the next game.
Hey, why else did they give us Bridge from Below, man?
I know.
They're giving us Dredge.
Sure. But anyway, another great set, another whole bunch of cards that we need to get into our collections. Jeff, is that it? Is that the rest? That's the end of our list.
Yeah. That was a fun episode because normally we do like a no pass list and then we just talk about other cards. And it's like the no pass lists were so long this time that we actually got through a healthy amount of really cool cards
I know all
just
the
by going
sick
through them.
ones. Yeah, I'm really excited to dive into this set. I have a pre-release this weekend that I'm going to go to. Jeff, you had mentioned that you have one as well.
Yep. Tomorrow, which for people listening is, anyways, it Friday. So whenever you're listening to this, I'm going to a Friday night one.
Nice. Very exciting. Before we move on, Jeff, was Bridge from Below, as you were talking about Bridge from Below, I was like confused where it was. I don't know if it's legal and timeless, actually. I don't know if we actually have it on Arena. I wonder if it was it one of the cards that didn't get brought in, that we didn't, one of the three cards that we didn't get from Murders at Karlov Manor, because it is a special guest, but I don't, it wasn't from this set. I think it was from Murders at Karlov Manor, and it was one of the weird funky ones, the things that Wizards likes to do to make it confusing,
Gotcha.
where it's
Okay, so
actually,
it was actually a Lost Caverns one, which makes sense. Bridge from Below.
sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, so the
Yeah.
confusing thing about Scryfall is all the special guests are in one big page. And
Yes.
I just like noticed it and was like, ooh, we're getting Bridge from Below, because I knew it wasn't already on Arena, so I assumed it was coming with this
With
set.
this one. And I was looking at a different list, being like, I don't see it.
What are
I'm
you talking
confused.
about? Yeah. Well, there goes my Dredge and Hogak theory.
Yeah, well, I was like, well, that all that does, Jeff, all that does is mean that there's a bigger possibility that they're gonna give me what I want.
No, I just said that it makes it less likely they give you Dredge and Hogak.
Well, it just doesn't prove that they're not gonna do it, right? That there's
Yeah.
no way, because they just don't want either of those cards. Obviously, the deck I want to play is not as busted and horrible as that one, so they're gonna probably give me the card.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They didn't want to bring one of the actual worst mechanics of all time to Arena.
Yeah.
Dredge is a doozy. I mean, it gets more hate than it deserves, I think, but it's just like the ultimate, it's the ultimate example of the deck that if you come prepared to beat it, you win easily, and if you don't, you just get fucked. It's like just having that in the metagame just creates a constant churn of like, oh, you want to prepare for other decks? Fuck you, I brought Dredge, now I win. But
Yeah.
if you just like, well, I have this one graveyard exile thing. They're like, well, all right. I guess I can't beat that.
Mulligan to it,
Yeah.
win on the spot.
You have Ley Line of the Void? Well, huh.
Huh. I guess I'll just exile my whole deck then.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't even have the chance to.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, just wanted to clear that up about Bridge from Below before we move on.
That is wise. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Now I'm super bummed, but fine.
All right.
No bridge from below.
There's so many other sweet cards. I don't even know why you are worried about that one. Six. Wait, Jeff, you know, it's late. We've been drinking. Let's go to last call. I want to hear what you think about this beer.
Okay.
All right, it's last call here at the Arena Regulars. We're going to talk about the beer we've been drinking this evening. As always, it's a scale from bronze to mythic, just like the tiers in Arena. As always, this has nothing to do with what tier you are in currently, because everybody's in different tiers at different times. Tiers don't really matter. It's not a big deal unless you're in the high mythics, but other than that, it's like whatever. With that being said, bronze beers are trash. They're horrible. You spit them out, you pour them on the ground, and you hate them.
What is the actual difference? Like 1,000 gold in a pack or something in the
Yeah.
season for
Yeah,
like insane.
yeah.
Silver beers are like boring beers, macro brews, or bad beers.
Wow, you really hit that pretty hard.
I'm just trying to explain the
Okay,
tier system.
sure. Gold beers are fine, but you wouldn't really drink them again.
Platinum are solid and you would drink them again.
Diamond beers are exceptional. You like these a lot and you show them to your friends.
And Mythic, these are the best of the best. These are the beers that you recommend to your friends. You tell them all about it. You maybe even like hold off and wait to drink it in a special episode of your podcast.
All right. Well,
At least that's
okay.
what it should
Jerry, all right. What the
be.
fuck? Just get on with it. What do you think about this beer?
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. This beer is not that bad.
Yeah.
So this is where we need to, again, like classic tier system doesn't line up perfectly with reality. I will drink this again, but I'm not gonna label it platinum. You know what I
No,
mean?
yeah, of
I'm gonna
course, of
drink this
course.
again because it's $2. I'm not gonna drink
Yes.
this again because it's inherently a platinum beer.
Yes,
So it's like, where does this go? Yeah. I'm gonna like
it's
split the difference on this and probably just slap a gold on it.
I
But
mean, gold fits. It's like a it's a silver beer that's gold, I think.
right, it's
You know what I mean?
like the price is definitely factoring in here.
Yes.
It's like this is a silver beer, but it's, 60 to 70% the price of the other silver beers I would normally get.
Yeah.
And so, since it's comparable to them, I'm willing to elevate it to gold status to reflect the fact that, they did this under difficult circumstances. They're clearly cutting costs somewhere and still made,
Some.
a beer that's on, about the Budweiser kind of level.
Yeah, it's the type of thing that, like, there are other $2 beers where I literally have to add other things to them. Like lemon juice or something to make them more palatable because they're like
Yeah.
so ugh.
Yeah, we should hit drive that point home. Like $2 beers are terrible
Yeah, they're
in
really bad.
Ontario.
Like Budweiser isn't $2. That's not
No.
even it, the world that we're in. We're in
No,
like
that's not the comparison
Dab,
point. Yeah.
Tatra, things like that are like really low.
Budweiser's what, like 350 probably if you went
So
to the
yeah, something
LCBO?
like that. Yeah, so like.
That's a huge price difference, guys.
It really
Like,
is.
and so
And
if this tastes kind of like Budweiser, that's a
or like
win.
even just like a little bit better, it has a little bit more body, then you're
Yeah.
like, all right,
It's a
it's
little more
not.
bitter, so if you're into that kind of thing, which I am in beers, it's like I'm not opposed to that. And yeah, it has a bit more actual body to it, so this
But
tastes kind of like a macro brew with a tiny bit more flavor and, not quite half the price, but pushing it.
exactly. It tastes like it tastes like, ooh, if your friend made this like home brew, doesn't have a lot of flavor, but you're like, this is a pretty good beer. Like
Yeah,
it's
it tastes like beer.
yeah, it's pretty
Yeah.
good, you know? But when you have a bunch of them, you're like, oh, okay, this isn't super, this isn't great.
I could see that kind of like bittery aftertaste building up after you have a few of them where you're just like, I just don't want that anymore. That's enough. That's enough of that.
And I told Jeff about this beer a long time ago, and then
Yeah.
I've drank it over that period of time and slowly weaned myself to be like, I don't really love it all the time.
But once you're off it for a while, then you'll fire. Ooh, I could get a
Yeah.
six pack for $12. Let's do
Yeah. And as soon as
it.
you're like, you're just payday hasn't come quite yet, you're like, oh, we'll just get these. You know,
Yeah,
that's what it kind of feels
exactly.
like. You never feel that bad. And also cracking another one, you're like, I could have another one. It's only $2.
Yeah.
So
That's usually what's, maybe that's a bad thing. Just like, normally I wouldn't go grab another beer because
I guess that's
it'd
true.
be $4, a $4 decision. But now that it's
Now
$2, let's
it's
do it.
$2. Yeah, they're both less than a pack of Magic cards, but this I could have three beers or one pack of Magic cards. Interesting.
For me, it's often about like how many beers are actually just in my fridge. It's like fridge is full. I'll grab another one. But if it's like only have like three in there, I can't.
I can't drink another one
Tonight's
right
not the
now.
night for
Oh no,
one of those.
I don't have time to go get some more.
I'm not gonna go pick up more this weekend or in the next week. So
Yeah,
no.
I can't justify this.
Yeah.
Anyway, gold with the caveat of it is $2. And I will drink it again.
Right, so it's just like the rating system's way off here because
Yeah.
gold is like it's fine, but I won't drink it again. This is like it's bad, but I will drink it again. It doesn't fit into
Yeah.
any of the categories
Yeah,
perfectly.
yeah. Yeah, it's hard because, you want them to be one after the other, but a lot of the times I drink way more silver beers than gold beers.
Yeah, that's the right way to describe it. Yeah.
That like if I do things, if I go to a football or baseball game or football game or whatever, I'm drinking Budweiser because it's
Right.
my the one that I like of the ones that are there.
Yeah.
But if there was a random I don't know if there's like Budweiser versus like some random hometown brewery that you haven't tried before. Like I probably try the hometown brewery, and if
Yeah.
that one's not any good, then just go back to
The same
Budweiser,
as Budweiser, yeah, for the rest of the
So
game. Yeah.
you feel kind of bad, but you're like, ah, this one's not very good though. It's
Yeah,
like,
like sometimes the macro breweries own what used to be an independent
that's true, that's
microbrew, and then
true.
they buy one. And then, but those are never good, I find, like, or at least very few of them are good. And
Yeah, I'm
so
sure they don't
I'm
get it.
usually just taking Budweiser over their craft beer option that's like twice as expensive at the ball game or whatever.
That's like, I don't know, they like blew some hops onto it or something, you know?
Yeah, or they have one at for the Blue Jays stadium that's it's Mill Street, and it's called something Blue Jays Way, or it's some named after the Blue Jays or something.
Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody about that. I'm like, what is that beer? And they're like, it's organic. It's Mill Street Organic, which is Mill Street's flagship product. Like, it would just call it Blue Jays, whatever, for the Blue Jays. But it's
Oh,
literally organic.
that's so lame.
Yeah.
And Milster Organic's not even that good, so.
No, I was like, I ordered it when I was there, and I was like, this tastes like, or like, th I remember thinking, this tastes like all the things I don't like about organic, because there are stuff explicitly that I don't like about that beer. And so I wasn't, confident that it was organic, but I was like, this is maybe Mill Street just sucks at making lagers or whatever, because this has
Yeah,
all the
I
same
mean,
issues that their original
and
does.
I would know. I have a
Yeah, as a
podcast about beer.
connoisseur.
Yeah.
No, I would know more as like a disliker of organic, was where I was coming from. It's like
Yeah,
when
no, it's
stuff tastes
true.
like Detour, I'm like, ugh, it has that Detour quality to
But anyway, if you
as
want
I
to,
drink Muskoka beer.
yeah. Well, Muskoka's not bad. I do agree that Detour is not very good.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you want to know more about our beer thoughts and things, you can always reach us at Arena Regulars on Twitter and Instagram.
You can also find us on MTG Arena itself. You won't be able to ask us about our beer thoughts there, but you may be able to say hello. Please do. Our username is Arena Regulars Podcast.
Yeah, and very soon it'll be howdy and a
Oh,
whoa there.
whoa there.
Excited for that. If you want to talk to me personally, honestly, the best place to talk to me is just going into my Twitch chat. I am going to be streaming a lot next week. Normally, it's Monday to Thursday, 10 to 2, but I'm going to be changing my hours up a little bit. So stay tuned for that. I'm regular underscore Zach at twitch.tv.
Yeah,
Or
if you
the other way around, twitch.tv/regular_Zach.
Yes. If you want to learn how to dominate your sealed RCQ that you have coming up, there's the channel to find out. That's where you go.
We will definitely not be playing Minesliver. Wink, wink.
Yeah, if you see Mindslaver, you're definitely taking
Probably. I'm probably taking it and playing it
it.
too. It's my 41st card.
Oh my gosh. When we're at the RCQ, we don't know each other. I know that guy playing 41 cards. Tell
What
me
a
about
fucking
it.
idiot.
They roll up my play mat that has the
It's
same as
exactly the
yours.
same as mine.
Yeah,
Sorry, Jeff, where can they find you if they want to talk to you about
best
how.
place is our Discord channel. I go by regular Jeff there. You can give me all the tips that I will need ahead of that sealed RCQ, because trust me, I will need them. I've not exactly been dominating limited lately, so it's time to dial in. Yeah, but the dis link to our Discord should be in the show notes down below.
That is true. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify. Leave us a review there. Anywhere you can say anything about us, even if it's just in your journal at home, write about us. It means a lot.
But I mean,
We'd
if you're
really
going to take the
appreciate it.
time to write a review in your journal at home, you might as well.
Well, just rip off a piece of paper, write a nice review, roll it up, put it in a message in a bottle, throw it out to sea. You know, someone will get it. Somebody important.
Well, take a picture, send
Yeah.
it to ChatGPT to convert to text, and then submit that to Apple.
Yeah, or I get, yeah, take a picture, post on Instagram. hey, this is the new cool thing. If you like a podcast, you should write on a piece of paper and put it in a bottle and throw it into Lake Ontario.
Oh man, we have the best call to action, so
We really do. It's been working out recently. We've been getting a lot of
yeah, a
bottles.
lot of bottles really piling up.
Like I've
Turns
been
out the
like,
government was withholding them for a while. They weren't
yeah,
sure what was going on,
we did have to pay a fee to get them, but
yeah.
currently they are in our possession, and we're gonna make a book, and we will sell that book on our Patreon page if you'd like. Oh, we have one of those as well. Give us a tip. It really helps us buy more beer. Yeah, it does. It really does.
Yeah, I mean we're drinking friggin' Saint Andre over here, guys.
Help us out. We have to drink $2 beers. We need all the tips you can give us. This has been the Arena Regulars.
Reminding you that we're drinking $2 beers over here. Send help.
Good night. All right, that's fine.